I don't know what to say, folks. It's in your hands. It's literally in your hands, each and every one of you. And I've been trying to tell you how to go about doing it. A couple of you are stepping up. I do appreciate that. And we see how, this works and the things that we don't understand that we should have understood. And that's the part of the problem. We were never supposed to be ignorant of our own, if you will, civil existence. And yet they have us locked into that. And I've been trying to bring the information to you to allow us to go quicker where we needed to go. And this so-called COVID, it is called COVID, isn't it? COVID-19. But it's a label, and that's the killer key right there that would unlock the door to the prison that you're all in that everyone complained about. And when you if you really understand what I've been saying, you'll be able to move, as I've been saying, the actual remedy is called habeas corpus. Now, it seems that there's not a lot of understanding about that. That's going to require some of that lessons to be learned. Anyway, it's in your hands to do that. And the thing I'm noticing is nobody, certainly not the attorneys, are actually challenging the governor's orders. I think the only actual way you could do that would be with a habeas. Not that you're complying with the order, but that it has no foundation. There is no communicable part to the communicable disease declaration. When you finally see what I've been saying on that, and you go touch and go look at your constitutions and or your public health statutes, you'll see the failure. It's really clearly done right there. And the only other thing I'm noticing is the attorneys are making excuses. They go after these things as a tactical approach to try and get legal positions made. It's like the Rosa Parks thing. They set that up in order to make that back to the bust issue, which is important. But they're looking at a whole lot of parameters to make look at longevity on a precedent. Your habeas corpus rights of being lawfully being strained of your liberty is immediate. And this is the only opportunity and time you'll have to do this. You can't wait on a strategy. The problem is that they're saying that the appellate courts may not look at this. The courts may not want to interject into the executive side. You have to point that out, that your rights exist prior to the declaration and that it was required that they certify to an actual cause, the absence of which is what the harm is. The court has no right to not hear and challenge the veracity, the validity of the executive orders under a pretense of health. And so you have a couple more sentences to add to a paper that you might put together. And so it's just understanding what's required and then going forward. The habeas is really a very short form way to get at this. And I think everybody in America that feels stopped, as feels any of your rights, you're required. I read that. I've read that to you over and over. I read that to you in the Wisconsin case. You're required to step up to ensure that orders haven't extended beyond the limit of what they were supposed to do. So that's, really, the writing's on the wall about that. I've been encouraged that we have every opportunity. I told you if we start going to the beaches instead of going to the habeas, we'll have done a disservice to ourselves and to the future. And we will have done no assertion of any law, and we'll have failed as the people who were supposed to, and this is the key, keep that Republican-formed government. We've allowed whatever it is, you technocrats, the communism, fascism, whatever you want to call it, it wasn't officials operating under law in the first instance. They're testing the borders. They have been. I've been explaining that for a long, long time. And this is really the opportunity. We have 300 million or more, depending if you want to be a mother and father and file for your sons and daughters on their own, because you can file for their liberty being restrained without a valid and lawful order of restraint of your liberty. You can file. We have 300 some odd million people that could be filing. You know, they wanted to flatten the curve. They have no clue what you all could do if you took these habeases and the virus of the habeas invading the courts. They wouldn't even know what to do with that. When they tried to flatten the curve to their hospitals and you forgot that was the real point, and then you didn't go assert that they didn't have a right to make that as any standard based on nothing, literally nothing, folks. There's no virus that they can test for. Literally, not out of my opinion. It's right out of their own words. I've done this weeks after weeks. Do you understand how that would overwhelm and show how stupid the justice system is? You need to do that as well. and at that many people, we wouldn't have the problem that the judiciary wouldn't look at this because an appellate court wouldn't look at it or challenge the executive. It's their inherent duty and power to do so. In fact, I think it's Pennsylvania has the King's Bench, if you will. But listen to these terms, folks, if you think we were separated. They have King's Bench power in America. And I think they're one of the only courts that have named that. I thought that was original jurisdiction, but that's been truncated by the legal system. But they have King's Bench prerogative. And the King's Bench prerogative can, as I've been telling you, should take on their own motion. The Supreme Court should take on their own motion what they see is going on in society that was wrong. So there's your example that could exist in all your states. You would press that to the wall. If we were an educated public in our society, I don't think we'd have the excuse, the complaints we have, partly that we have at all. And it's because we don't move forward. I put in the last Twitter to join me behind the woodshed was the habeas was the key. It's the lockdown door key. This is not just a spacious opinion. We heard that out of the Wisconsin court. If you didn't believe that in what I said to you, I've been saying that for months and months now. And so this is on us. It's always been on us. Again, I say that and I get almost chills how the power of hundreds of millions of people walking to their court and saying, listen, you handle this here, or we're going to have to, the posterity is going to stand up, and we're going to alter or abolish this nonsense for you. Wouldn't that be a wondrous thing? That was what we were being shown that in Virginia, that failed, but we still have it as an example. It's right there for us to continue to do. And then they stuffed all that in our faces. I told you it was coming. Not that I predicted the how. I told you it was going to come when they pushed the 9/11 narrative. They were going to have to press us to the wall with the medical martial law necessity type thing that we were the least prepared to respond to, but not totally unprepared, at least if you got behind the woodshed. And I'm still feeling really well about what I've been trying to advocate or advocating, not trying, I'm advocating it, whether or not it's receiving anywhere, I don't know, or not many places, I don't know, but I'm really feeling well about what has happened over the last months in at least the advocation I'm doing back out to try and get people to be reinvigorated. This isn't that hard. There's just some formalities that are already really written down for us. Some of you are writing about the habeas, and I say go back to your code, go find your state's code for habeas corpus. It's written down, and that's your form. That's what you follow. Follow it to a T. Anyway, I won't get lost on that. I want to move on to this other thing. I've got some other things to show you, some things the CDC is doing. I want to move on to show you we've got to keep fluid and mobile on this, but it's in our hands to do this. The habeas corpus is the key. I'll read an article here coming up that explains that by another study, explains the history of this stuff. Okay, it's real. Each one of you have to assert and vindicate your own rights and ensure the excess, there was no excess against you. Now, we could all have the same reasons, but each one of us has to vindicate that, and I've always wondered what it would be like. During traffic tickets, if everybody who ever got a traffic ticket understood how to fight a traffic ticket, entered back in the courts and did an avoidance, they would have thousands and thousands and thousands of cases that they would have to deal with. Would overwhelm that system, and I'm pretty sure you'd start to see a stop in this nonsense regarding so-called traffic that none of you are doing unless you're in a commerce condition. And so, back off, let me go into where the news of the moment is. The Oxford coronavirus vaccine, all of the monkeys in the trial contracted the disease. The coronavirus being developed by the scientists of Oxford University may not prevent people from becoming infected with disease after all, experts have warned. In the latest animal trials of the vaccine carried out in rhesus macaques, all six of the participating monkeys went to catch the coronavirus. I'll end there. Okay, to me, this is their advocating to tell you what vaccines do. This is actually a celebration that it worked. And it's up to you to figure out whether or not you want to continue down this road or become forced because you haven't essentially tried any remedy, let alone habeas, to stop the nonsense that we see that they're claiming that they're just telling you that they all got infected. We already know that vaccines make you infect you. We know that it causes shedding. Here's the problem, and here's a power for you. If you haven't put this part together, even in the context of enforced and mandatory vaccine, this shows that they can give you an inferior infection, that the natural infection, where the inferior one only lasts temporarily and keeps you on their pharmaceutical leash, a natural infection immunity lasts for about ever, if not forever. And that's the thing you have to learn to present. Even if what they're saying is proper and their remedy isn't better than me just getting the virus. I want permanent relief, not your pseudo relief, where I'm now leashed. I have to force to associate, in violation of the constitutional right of free association, I have to force to associate with an inferior answer, inferior remedy. And so I take these, again, these are notice to us. Yeah, what did you expect? The vaccine gave the monkeys the coronavirus. I don't know how they tested for that, folks, but it gave them the common cold. Okay, I guess we could see my monkey sneezing and using Kleenex and hankies and wiping their nose. I guess that's what that looked like. But this is not surprising. What this is notice to you, authority, words out of the people who are doing this against you, that this stuff does exactly what it's always been doing. And then you bring up the fact, well, but that's not as good a remedy as me just getting, let's say, the measles, because that'll give me a lifetime of immunity. And so even when they press you to the wall, you still have a word in your mouth. And you still have your choices. Instead of doing the fabricated pseudo-science remedy, you're going to do nature's remedy that gives you full protection. You don't choose to be put on a pharmaceutical leash forever because theirs is an inferior product. That's even if you agree with it. So the thing is, hopefully you've stepped up with your habeas, understood what that is, petitioned, you've got the court to force the court by your challenge to the court not looking at those things, force them to look at the validity of the orders that put you here in the first place to have you in lockdown. And I just say that I can't tell you how certain I am about all that after looking and here this last week again, looking even deeper. It's just there's no validity to any of what we're seeing, and it's all on us. So there it is. We know now they give a vaccine. It works. It infects you with the disease they want. And now I'm saying, okay, but that's what all the best are going to do, because that's all they're going to ever be able to do is do that to you. The choice is I want a more permanent resolution to this. I just want to catch it the normal way and forget I was going to insult medicine men, but we have the modern medicine men here, the snake oil salesman. But anyway, moving on here, the COVID-19 has replaced Osama bin Laden as a fall guy for lost liberties. I told you before this was going to be an extension of 9/11. You see people just psychically pulling these things together in the stories, but I took an objection to this report here. The government and media has dumped at the doorstep of coronavirus many of the political, economic, and social afflictions that are now ravaging much of the global population. In reality, they need to point the finger at themselves. I object to that statement. I reject that position. As the mainstream media saturates the airwaves with a daily overdose of coronavirus fear porn, the majority of journalists have given their governments a free pass to enact any draconian measure they see fit. I object and deny that is valid as well. Sounds good, but listen very carefully. Remember, who has the ability, who has the authority here? Who has the power? From the closure of public beaches to forbidding powerboats on waterways, the insanity seems to have no limits or logic. Well, it's insane, so we wouldn't expect any. Moving on here, and this last little sentence. And as the media would have us believe, it was the coronavirus that enacted these measures, as opposed to living, breathing, unthinking humans. That I partially agree with. In fact, I'd probably agree with it if we understood the context. But this was unthinking, opposed by living, breathing, unthinking humans, because that's how you're acting as animals. So I'm saying you, folks. I disagree with this because it points the finger to something else that had no responsibility to keep the republic that protected them. That was on all y'all. Finger pointing out, got three pointing back, we're back to that. The unthinking, breathing humans are not men and women stepping up to assert their rights against this thing that people are inside manipulating the levers over. We, the people, are allowing all of this, every bit of it. I mean, if you notice, when you press, what it's inferior argument to me, even when you press inside and say, well, I'm already agreeing with this order without challenging the validity of the order, then the people are winning. Okay? So you have to press back. And I don't know what more to say. This has been told to us over and over and over. There's no way around this point. If we expect, and I'm really kind of shocked a bit, for everybody that wants to profess a libertine mind, be, you know, freedom and free, do your own thing, that you're not stepping up in your remedy of habeas to make this a point where no point is being made by any of the attorneys is really kind of astonishing to me. Each one of you has the power to show us how much you embrace being free. Every one of you. And so, I don't know what to say. I'm kind of dumbfounded a bit about this as well. There was a conversation, COVID-19 lockdown in is liberalism last hurrah. They speak to it from the concept of liberals. I found it very interesting because I am neutral to all that as far as the political this, that, the isms and the ists. I've really just tossed them away. But interesting statements here that I think are applicable. And I just said earlier, you can't point to the media and you can't point to those in government because you have a remedy you're not exercising that they, that the courts, those people that are in that government said, unless you bring this, you are ensuring that we're not overstepping. And so they're overstepping like crazy. You're not bringing it there. You gave them license. That's your consent. But this one goes on here, the ode of a liberal. And I lightly use that because I'm not focused on that term. I'm focused on what they're going to say here. And I want to put most people, I think most people would fit into this. I don't care what their political bit was. And not necessarily that you might agree that you would have said this, but it's the list of things that we all kind of went through and saw in the hindsight 2020 that we've been involved with all these years, said nothing about, except for to complain and do not much more. We're handed now the key to the kingdom, and none of us are picking it up. And I say that none of us, there's some, but it's very, 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 very few when there should be 300 million people just tearing down the judiciary system to either to build it up in the right way, or tear it down and rebuild it. Here, ode of a liberal. They passed the USA Patriot Act, and I did nothing because I'm a patriot. They passed the USA Freedom Act, and I believe in freedom. They nominated Hillary Clinton, and I voted for the lesser evil. They declared the medical martial law, and I didn't want to kill grandma. They said to wear a face mask, and I passively obeyed. I believe in Joe Biden because I'm a liberal. The cause of death of the liberal class, as Chris Hedges tells us, was gullibility. Liberals are foolish enough to believe that they are moderate capitalism, could moderate capitalism, that they could have changed corporatism by elections, mass movements whining and begging for incrementalism. The liberal class started their negotiations by compromise of all their ethics, beliefs, and powers. And they got in return was scraps of identity politics. The power elite did not give up anything it really cares about. The corporatists raped, pillaged, and burned with abandon while liberals wallowed in political correctness. Now, I guess I could read more. I just want to stop right there because if you're not a liberal, you allowed all the same things and or others by whatever prejudice you put on that other side. Because here's the proof of this is we're here today in a complete economic meltdown in a way. It's actually controlled, but we are being led by the nose, and every one of us had a power to shut it down. And we're not. And so he goes, this story kind of goes on. I wanted to get to the point. They're recognizing. Everyone recognizes, but they don't want to move against it. You just talk about it. The concentration of wealth and income is in the fewest hands. U.S. wars have killed millions of people, and the wars' profits are booming. Labor unions were neutered. Government is privatized. The economy has been deindustrialized. The police are militarized. The working class has been disenfranchised. The middle class is being impoverished. The poor are criminalized. I could go on, but you get the point. That's everybody, folks. The police are militarized as a recognition, even by this liberal class, so-called, that's going on. It's not just the police. Okay, so I just want to point out, there's people see it. We all see this. It's really not a discussion anymore. What I've been asking is, now, what are you going to do about it? And I said, I don't just ask that. I say, here is a remedy, and then here's some support for what I say. I don't want you to, again, I'm that pathfinder or that path trailhead exposer to those that have that mission that want to go down, and I can explain whether or not I've been on that path and to what extent. I can give you a lot of steps to a lot of these things we're talking about. I offer you supported solutions that are not just pie-in-the-sky opinions on what I thought was going on, but actually how the system you're up against is going to receive that, even if they're in a corruption. And I've told you how to deal with that as well, or at least in part. And I say in part because a lot of that's, everybody that finds time to finally focus on things that they want to, wrong they want to make right, realizes as they get in, there's nuances in it, things that have to be adjusted. It's a very fluid condition that goes on. But it all still has principles that are laid out and written down that we can follow. And it's all objective. You don't have to make the stuff up. Like I remember watching people in the 90s doing, get beat down big time bad. They thought they knew what the deal was and they didn't. And on their errors is what I took note of and started to adjust how I was thinking about how do you address this thing that you really don't have the final say on, but you have the obligation to have kept them out. And this brought me into the more, as we see, the more military type of position. We're having an overthrow going on, a coup of the nation. People have the tool and the weapon against it, and nobody, they rather talk about restabilizing the government through the Second Amendment militias, as I got a tweet. I don't even know how to respond to that stupidity. Instead of taking out the weapon of the habeas corpus, millions, hundreds of millions of you, folks, can you just imagine this thing coming at them and having the right point? Don't whine about the fact that this, that, and the other. Say, no, these are invalid orders because they don't have a communicable, and there's no test for a communicable. And if without a communicable, you can't have an outbreak, let alone an epidemic. You start focusing on that, and it's not you saying that. The CDC and the FDA has agreed, as I brought in the last broadcast, to show you. It's all right there for you to show there is no basis for the police power that is being wielded. In fact, it was became almost a joke, and it's a sad joke. We can identify that the order, at least in one state, is actually the disaster the Constitution says is supposed to be stopped. But by the terms of the Constitution, as I tell you to go back to the black and white, you'll find a lot of answers sitting already there that you can use that are irrefutable by the invading force. In Washington government, going on, those who don't cooperate with contact tracers and tests are not allowed to leave home. This is what's coming on to you. This is in Washington state. If you don't allow a contact tracer to talk about you, they feel they can force an association with you. And I'm going to read you a document when we get there that your fundamental rights are the balance that has to be placed. And if you're not putting that up now, they're going to run them down. You don't have any. You don't have any of it. And I just saw a derogatory response immediately. No, that's not going to fly. That's what I'm trying to say. But the other thing is I posted two posts on the same thing. I've been watching this thing. It really bothers me. Defy these. Barbers are defying. People are defying. I said, stop. You don't defy. You have to deny. If you defy, you admit the legitimacy of whatever you're defying. Instead of denying it by good, lawful reason, you're not, don't defy. Have a word in your mouth. Deny it. But deny it in a way they don't have an answer for the denial. Now you're not what? Now what are you doing? How many cases have you heard in the news? You go down, if you do defiance, if you do a defiant attitude, they hit you for willfulness. If you do a denial by an authority, why it's denied, rejected, they can't get you for willfulness. And I've been asking you for decades, writing for a decade and then speaking for a decade, stop doing the resist defiant thing. Start figuring out what it is they're doing and then reject it with a reason that's settled in law, the black and white. They can't get you for knowing and willful. They can't get you for the crime that they're putting on everybody. Okay, so it's a whole different way to approach this. When you go, the contact tracers, this is what's coming if you don't bring your habeas. Right? I'm not going to get too deep on how, this is like the senseless workers with bigger teeth and fangs. And so I've been still working on how to address this. In fact, I'm going to probably take the senseless notice I told you I wrote up and probably add something for these guys. But I'm still working out in my mind that dynamic of this power that's unchallenged coming to say, you're not leaving your home if you don't talk to our, you don't force to associate with our contact tracers, these public-private partnership we've entered into. Okay, so the lots of stupidity behind this, I guess then they're going to have to serve you, which they say they're going to do. They'll bring you your food. They'll bring you your medicine, whatever they think is essential. And I've told you, well, whatever they think is essential that's not essential in your life is the takings they didn't compensate you for on the other end of it. But it happens because no one's going to say, wait a minute, okay, now that you've done that in Washington State, I'm going to file a habeas against the validity of the order that allows you to even say that. And here's how you cannot, here's how you don't have the ability because, first of all, there is no virus communicable infectious agent you can prove. And then you get into the statutes, you see they did none of that. They did none of the certifying specificity that is required in the statutes and in the constitutions and the ones I've seen. So here it comes down. They're telling you that those who don't cooperate with contact tracers and tests, not allowed to leave home. If you didn't think I was joking about, if you thought I was joking about the open air prison you live in, and if you don't agree with your wardens and how you get locked down, isolated, then here you're seeing it right there. You are allowing that by not properly responding. Habeas is the first remedy that I would be going to, as I've been talking all these weeks, and I've been refining how that is week to week, trying to see if people would pick it up. I'm finally getting some people that are starting to get it, so I'm just going to continue refining. Hopefully people will get motivated even to, I mean, you know, it's like defending yourself even if you're up against a gang, folks. I mean, even if you don't know if you can beat them, you're going to defend yourself. I mean, you're going to do something better than sit there and whimper. But CDC, now here we go. Here's the thing that builds into this. Upon that imposition, violating your fundamental right of association, on top of the fact they haven't proven, it's only presumptive the validity of the order, and you show how they couldn't prove it. So you rebut the presumption. They now have to come back and show how they could have seen a virus, is the dynamic. Upon that, you see, the CDC admits to giving misleading COVID-19 testing data. Several states have been making the same mistake. Folks, it's not a mistake. This is things coming undone now. They're going to be removing it. They're losing the hold. This is the notice to y'all to give the local officials the plausible deniability that they relied upon that says that what they did was a mistake so that you can't go after them. So as I've been saying, unless you show up front that the local, and this is where your fight is, local is the habeas, is local, is you show them that the local jurisdiction having the authority did not do an independent certification. In other words, they didn't show locally that you had an outbreak epidemic and then lost that to the county, lost the ability to keep up. You don't have that certification in law, then they have failed to do what the law local to you has said. This is all the same across all these jurisdictions. They're bringing out CDC admits giving misleading COVID. No kidding. We knew that going in. This is coming out as a notice to relieve the liability of all your local officials. All right. So you see, if you see it this way, for me, I see it this way. I know exactly what I'm going to be going after as well. The one more line is I have to be able to express the fact that they couldn't take reliance on the CDC because they were supposed to look at local occurrence. And in fact, I think it just occurred to me in the chat room of RLM last night, the Wisconsin bill came out about they were declaring this supposed epidemic public health order. The first eight, as I read, the first eight whereases, the things they're trying to load up as facts, were not even relevant to the local county's authority. And so if you start to learn how to parse this through, you can just decimate what they're using to use it's a color of authority. And that now you find the color. They now are unwarranted in what they do to interfere with you. You now have them in felony. That's what this is trying to do, the CDC admits giving misleading data. It's like, okay, we know that they were doing misleading data. This is a public notice, though, that the officials can, we relied on the CDC. And that will exonerate them in most instances unless you know what I'm fulfilling what I'm explaining. And what, okay, so what about this information? This, they've been lying, and I've also been watching how they've been moving through. I'm moving on now. A thing I'm going to have to probably update on one of my web pages, and what I'm going to explain to you today, the information about the laboratories, the coronavirus, COVID, is the CDC having changed what it says is the, not a test as a test. I had to go back through, and I'm going to go backwards on this. Instead of going back in time first and coming forward, I'll start what they do now. They have now promoting, which I said there was no test. This is what they're telling you now. Here, they can't even get the numbers right, but now they got a website you can trust, but it does say this, but you can trust some of it because it's a lie. You trust the lie. You trust what you have to do here now is take a second step of investigation. You can't do it from the page. Now it says, where it says it had no test, back in February and March, and you'll get links for that. You can compare them. And I think it was in February they said, this test is not for the hospitals. It says it right on their webpage. And then you start watching how they start pulling information. They start telling, they tell you that they did the expedited thing from the FDA. The FDA agreed with the test. Subsequent with that, agreeing that the test was valid for what? Antibodies, not the virus. Valid for detecting antibodies. They found out that test reagents were no good. So you have evidence right there on the second link that I'm here that I'm going to have for you on this link, on this lineage. You have the proof the FDA will, in fact, okay an emergency situation invalid tests. Now, what gets dropped with this new one, this new notice, is they have a new test. They don't tell you how the, how, whether or not those new reagents were actually certifiable or not. They drop all of this history from you, and you have to know now this because of what they do. I've been saying there is no test. They're now coming out and say CDC has developed a new laboratory test kit for use in testing patient specimens for severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. First sentence. COVID-19 is not the coronavirus, number one. Number two, they tell you they got a test. That would call me a liar. I've been telling you there's no test. All right, I gotta cut this to the chase. Then they go and they tell you what it is. The test kit is called the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, 2019 Novel Coronavirus, 2019 nCoV. I hope you put your mind back when they start changing this name. This is important to keep track of. Real-time reverse transcriptase RT-PCR diagnostic panel. I'll stop right there. You read through this page, it'll tell you they got a test. What's that test do? It doesn't identify SARS-CoV-2, which is presumptive anyway. The RT-PCR diagnostic panel is the same instructions the FDA says that does not identify the viral cause. It doesn't identify, it's not a bacterial cause either. It doesn't identify any cause which the body creates antibodies. These tests are not a test for SARS-CoV-2. They say it right there. They're promoting that they have the test. If they've got the numbers wrong, folks, do you think they also got the information they're telling you wrong here? So you can believe what's on this page, or you can look a little deeper and find out the second sentence on this says it is only an antibody test. And here's the difference. They'll tell you now what the difference is. They also don't tell you that you can't do these in hospitals. They say, but it does have to go through particular labs. This is not a clinical tool at all. But what's the test would do? What is the optimum point about this test? The test for the swab, which we heard in the old website you'll get the link. I won't go back and talk about those. I'm going to jump through those, as a matter of fact, and get on to the next point. The swab tells you whether or not your body has antibodies for an immediate thing it's responding to, what's happening to it now, in an antibody test, not what's causing the antibodies. The newer test, which is that lateral flow test, if I understand this connection correctly, at any rate, the so-called serology test they do, that checks that you've had some immunological response in the past. The new test happens to look, it's like looking in your car going somewhere, but you're going there in the rearview mirror. The serology test they're promoting as a test for SARS-CoV-2 is actually an antibody test that you've responded something to something in the past. It's not predictive of the current or the future. And so here's they tell you they got a new test. You now are being obligated to go refine the search to find out, what is this new test? What does it really do? All right? And it is that when I said there is no test, they come out and said there is a test. I'm telling you, the second step now has to be taken to identify the new test is the same as the old test. In fact, now they've differentiated the new test is the same as the old test, but they've split it. You can look now or you can look in the past. You can't look what's coming, and you can't see what the cause of what's coming is with this so-called new test. Okay? They also say it takes a clinical laboratory to review this. And it still isn't good enough to find the cause. And so here's your fraud. Here's what all the jurisdictions across America are basing the information on. And they'll try to rely on this information when, in fact, if you know how to analyze it, you could say, but you local health authority, were supposed to identify the truth about whether or not that test could tell you anything. That's on you. That obligation never left. When you look in your statutes, and I've seen a few statutes now across the nation, they pretty much all say the similar thing. The county health authority or the health authority in a county has the obligation and duty to do an assessment and certify to a cause over a territory. And before it goes on to the state, it's then it has to be certified that it can't be that particular thing causing the outbreak, causing the now epidemic, has gone out of the hands of the county to be able to deal with. How can they do that when they don't have a test? How can they do that even if they look at someone who responds to the test in a past infection? That's essentially proving to you that you're immune, isn't it? And so that test is actually saying that the society doesn't need it for that one now. And so if you understand what's going on here, how this scam is being perpetrated, you'll incorporate those things, potentially, depends on how you advance your habeas, in how you've identified the local county, the governor, had no ability to say that there was an emergency against you, whether they want to declare it a disaster, a catastrophe, an emergency, an outbreak, an epidemic, something of health importance. There's no foundation for it. And you have to assert that the court that won't look at that is being an accessory to a treason against you. Now that's part of how you put the pressure on the court to not evade the duty to check that the people in the government had the requirement to, in order to present that to the court in evidence, not as a presumption. Okay, so I know maybe some technical words there, but this is what we were supposed to be understanding. Public health strategy and police powers of the state. I found out in talking with some people, I can see now how you folks think I'm nuts. I'm just absolutely talking about stuff you can't find. I didn't know that. Came out, I had a question. I was listening to someone talk, and I kept making references to police power, but there was a soft response to it, and I realized there was no understanding about what police power is. So I asked that them to go out and research on the internet for police power. What they're wanting not is how it's being talked about as already implementing that what the powers of the government are. You got to find out you need to know that this is a thing that needs to be invoked and the standards by which it's invoked. And essentially you'll see that in the proper processes in the Constitution and statutes, but it doesn't say it that way. To give a background information, go study police power. Well, I decided to take my own advice, and I said, I better go look and see what anybody's going to find when I tell them that. And I have to admit, folks, I can't be confused because I understand, but if I was somebody who didn't know and I went to go search police power, I would be as confused as my friends were when they went and did the research. Because it doesn't speak about police power the way I understand it. In fact, I got my information well long before the internet. And so I realized that when you're listening to me say stuff and you go research, you don't see what I'm saying at all. And essentially all we're looking at for this, just to keep it real simple, I could piece together from things on the internet what police power were, but it's been altered and gone into criminal law. It's not the same, but there are elements in criminal law. And so I was able to piece together some principles that I've sent over to give a basic foundation for what police power is. Let me read this document. I found this subsequent to all that, and I thought it was important because it kind of gives us an idea. It's a discussion about police power and health. I don't agree with the conclusion. I don't agree with the opinions that are stated, but there is a historic reference to what the so-called doctrine of police power is, that you need to understand it, because if you don't really understand it, you don't know the terrain that you're working in and how to put the key into. If you don't understand what it's for, you may not fully understand what you have to say. The habeas corpus strictly is an unwarranted restraint of liberty in its most minimal statement. Any restraint of liberty is what you're going to be looking at that's unwarranted. And so that can attach in lots of ways. So the doctrine, so this article here I get out of the ncbi.lmnih.gov site, the public health strategy and the police powers of the state. The doctrine of state police power was adopted in early colonial America from firmly established English common law principles mandating the limitation of private rights when needed for the preservation of the common good. All right, I want to read, but I need to have you understand at least this much. The common good is not individual rights. This article speaks to the balance of that. You have private rights. All right, that the common good is not supposed to overwhelm in the way that it's been allowed, at least today. All right, so when they talk on the common good, you're looking at communism. And this is what the courts have allowed. And this is another theory that's been proffered that no one has challenged. But so when you see common good, it means they're displacing your private rights. Yet the habeas corpus is sitting there as an institution of private rights. And this article is important to read to see how that's looked at. Whether you agree or not, this is how you would understand this, because this is what you're up against. The common good, it was one of the powers reserved by the states with the adoption of the federal constitution and was limited only to the constitution's supremacy clause, which mandates preeminence of federal law in matters delegated to the federal government and the individual rights protected in the subsequent amendments. The application of police power has traditionally implied a capacity to, one, promote the public health, morals, or safety and the general well-being of the community, two, enact and enforce laws for the promotion of the general welfare, three, regulate private rights in the public interest, and four, extend measures to all great public needs. The application of police powers, and this term is in quotes, police powers is in quotes, the application of police powers is not synonymous with criminal enforcement procedures. Rather, this authority established the means by which communities may enforce civil self-protection rules. More specifically, public health police power allows the state to pass and enforce isolation and quarantine, health and inspection laws to interpret or prevent the spread of disease. Historically, the exercise of public health police power was enforced with strong support of the courts, and restraint of the police power occurred only when there was open disregard for individual rights. So here you hear the individual, and I use that loosely for some of you that understand individuals really not different, but then a person or somebody included. In other words, we would say the non-dependent. And so don't get lost there. Just focus on how they look at this. You'd be considered that individual with your private rights, certainly only after you've asserted them. Going on to what this is going on to say here. The abilities of the state to exercise their police powers has been constrained since the 1960s by the legal and social reexamination of the balance of power between the individual, the states, and the federal government, which affects contemporary efforts to reform public health law in the face of terrorism. And I want to point out this because you're going to find out when we move on that these things have been placed within the militia, within the military, as I've already told you about, within how they deal with this. All this emergency stuff is within the military application within the state as well, though that's a federal district. Not going to go there, but this is supposed to be terrorism stuff. Right? So you got to kind of keep track of how this all got changed. I told you 9/11 changed this place when they started adjusting all this and moving these things into a future control structure with very few things to us, but at least that habeas sits there. It becomes very important. But going on here, given the deployment, the development of criminal-based threats to health marked by bioterrorism, the relatively recent emphasis on the personal rights side of the equation should be reassessed. The reexamination of the legal, ideological, and social limits of police power is appropriate since increased state capacity can be crucial for first response to terrorist threats or actions. And like I said, this is where this guy starts to talk about, this is his opinion. You understand that they're now pulling out legal, ideological, and social limits? This is where the legal profession now steps in and starts to parse out what your rights might be subject to. Why you can't really argue you don't argue your right is more important. You argue that they didn't have the right to impose. You don't have to now, there's no argument. You don't hand that decision to a bar member who we know by their membership and their inclusion and their history going all the way back to England is part and parcel to the church as well as the UN and all this other stuff. And so, there's not a separation at that point, is there? And there is when you assert that distinction. And again, it's what I thought, think about what I just said. I'm just so surprised that all the people that believe that they're libertine, free, have an idea that there's no one's going to mess with them, nobody yet has stepped up in the right way that I can find. Nobody to assert that they're not part of the herd. That's what habeas would actually do. Don't treat me like the herd. You have no right. I'm saying how you would do that would be to eliminate their ability to even have a say by invalidating those orders unless there's some new other information I haven't seen, at least in the way that I've offered here before, relative to the failure of a provable communicable infectious agent. So he wants a re-examination. I mean, this article begins with an historic overview of the doctrine of the state police power addressed recent limitations imposed on the implementation of public health police powers, then uses the example of the imposition of the quarantine orders to illustrate the state's capability to impose such orders in the exercise of its police power. Finally, it suggests changes in the state's public health agency governance focus and regulation to rebalance public and private interests. Now, this is someone who's coming in, essentially, when you look at the existing rules for this, like due process, it's essentially arguing against the due process that they should have done to hand more power to the government, essentially. And so, let me read now further down. Again, lots of information here. I wonder how much do I want to put out? There's just so much to read and understand. I want to read it out, and partly I don't. I want you to see the black and white. I mean, the court curtailed police. Okay, so there's this. Originally, it was fully on the state side, the government side. Then it started to go in the Warren Court. The Warren Court made some adjustments. It's very important to read for this and how and why and how it expands the respect, if you will, for your constitutional rights up front, which I've been telling you is totally absent right now. That you need to reassert. See, the habeas can allow you to do that as well. The Declaration of New Constitutional Rights unmentioned in the text of the Constitution also affected the exercise of police powers through these adjustments. The court curtailed police power by establishment that, one, the exercise of police power could be limited by express or implied rights. Express or implied rights, folks. This is where you have the power. Here you are. Okay, so I don't know when I say that like opens a whole bunch of doors for my mind. I don't know about you. And then why I can just say why I don't understand why people haven't been pressing even that first one, just that's first limitation against this. Two, this is against it if you agree that it's valid. What if you post that before and say, but this is not valid and the status quo is my rights? Until they show, because the government has the burden, not a presumptive burden, but an actual specificity certification on something known, not something made up. Number two, the rule of reason supporting public health actions would be replaced by strict analysis. This is critical to get down strict scrutiny over the actions of the government relative to your rights. This is not giving really license to the government at all, again, just as I just said, as well in a different way. The states should show a compelling interest to allow exercise of police power limiting an individual right. When I read that, my mind says, I would just reverse that up around. I'd take that, copy it out, paste it down, and I'd say, how is there any compelling interest in the state to commit fraud on a people where it has no test and then doesn't do the assessment, doesn't follow the law, can't prove an infectious agent, and yet purports to admit to a public health emergency? I'm speaking to that, and I'm listing in every pause I just did the points of the things they were supposed to do that I found the code said that they were supposed to do. They all failed. Every place I've noticed fails on this. Now, moving on here to read the next paragraph, approaches to orders of quarantine are emblematic of the changes ushered in by the war in court. The treatment of quarantine moved from presumption of constitutional validity to strict scrutiny for constitutionality. Folks, haven't I been telling you that for forever, just about, but specifically in this matter, since I've been talking about this in January at least? It's exactly what I've been talking about. This study found this as a historic review of what's going on, not the opinionated part. And so that's why I'm offering it to you, those of you that don't understand maybe what this police power is, maybe what the standards are, what environment are you entering into when you discuss this, even in your mind before you move forward. What do I have to work with here? This article, as much as I don't agree with the conclusion for more state power, the history repeated here is pretty accurate, and you can use it. I was using it big time. My mind just goes on. It's almost like writing a complaint, the habeas, line by line, as I'm reading these things just as they come to me. I hope you have some of that going on for you, like I just did with the number three up there. But so the court moving over, and they're now looking at the strict scrutiny for constitutionality. And I think, if I remember right, this article, they're still in that if you press that. They're trying to remove back, but that's the adjunct policy impositions. That's what you see going on now, where they just give lip service to the certification of a specific cause, and then they just see if they can push it past you. Let me get on to the very important point, confirming what I've been telling you, too, in someone's review of history and what's going on. The treatment of quarantine moved from presumption to constitutional validity to strict scrutiny for constitutionality. Under traditional police power doctrine, the remedy against quarantine was limited to a subsequent petition for habeas corpus that did not allow the detained individual to break quarantine until the petition was decided. Quarantine is now reviewed under heightened procedural protections under the 5th and 14th Amendment. So there it is, folks, what I've been telling you. The habeas corpus is, before, it was had a little bit of a problem. You had to be held in confinement until you could get reviewed. But when the Constitution runs first, your rights run first, or your antecedent rights run first, you're presumed innocent here, aren't you? So, moving on, quarantine is now reviewed under heightened procedural protections under the 5th and 14th Amendment. War in court focuses on civil rights, moved attention from the community interest in the exercise of police power to the deprivation of individual liberties. This, in turn, led to the extension of the rights to pre-hearing notice, to legal counsel, to confront and cross-examine witnesses, to be committed only to by clear and convincing evidence, and to preserve a record on appeal to any citizen subject to an order of quarantine. Now, you're all locked down, folks? Look at how many lists of things they've denied in you. I told you before you had right to that should be no question what you have to do right now. There's no other thing you should be doing in your life, in the quarantine and the time, but focusing on letting yourself out of the prison that you're already not supposed to be in by that paragraph right there. And I hope some of you do grab the link here and read through this. It's pretty inspiring in a way that the words you have in your mouth are there to say. You just needed to know that they were there. In fact, I highlighted a little bit the civil rights move, because I think Moose Girl in the RLM chat last night told me about a Wisconsin court case going to the federal court on this matter, and they're alleging the civil rights violation. Now, that case, to my mind, has a bunch of problems, neither here nor there. At least someone was advancing the civil rights part. They are important, and you have to kind of say, you have to lay that out. I'm not much on the civil rights. There are other more powerful rights, to my mind. It seems that that's like the afterthought. Civil rights are going to be violated where they didn't do the things up front they were supposed to do to warrant what they're doing. And so I would be focusing a little bit on that. But listen to all the things they were supposed to give you. I told you they were supposed to give you. But when that Washington court shut down, taking that away from you, or ostensibly taking that away from you, I said your civil law is gone. You're in martial law. They're not supposed to do all this. Remember that unless you're doing like some insurrection, the habeas corpus runs. It continues to run. Even when there was a question on whether there was an insurrection, your habeas corpus rights ran in history back when you go back on this thing and do some research. The Warren Court decisions also affected public health activities such as testing, contact testing, and closing places identified as foci of contagion. This is a critical statement. They had to do the foci of contagion to start the outbreak. I haven't found anywhere that did. They just make the claim it's here. COVID is here. Coronavirus is here. Common cold is here. That's the emergency. Never focusing on where this thing starts and how. That's the killer part right there. On one of these, just as you're moving through this. This is what I've been saying. They never did that part. They never identified and certified to the problem. They just threw some words out, and everybody, even the courts at this point, are presuming what they said is okay. That's not looking at your constitutionality up front, is it? It's certainly treating you as the infectious agent yourself, which was not supposed to happen under the authority of those laws. And yet I see the crickets in this country, 300 million or more of you. I'm actually excited when I say that. If you all would just turn on to this and see that and actually move on that and do that, move against this, I would probably have a big smile on my face till the day I died. Watching a whole nation step up and say, enough's finally enough, here's how, and here's why, you're done. You're done. And in our habeas corpus, we're going to give a cause once we win. We're going to turn around and we're going to alter and abolish the system that allowed this to happen. So why? Because you shouldn't have to have 300,000 people step up to go defend each asserted right when those are supposed to be presumed in the first place as functioning, not questions. Yeah? You understand how this should be working? It's not working like that. Why? Because you got an invasion of foreign agents coming in and they don't care about it all. They're getting away with what they can get away with. When you didn't have your due process that you heard in the prior paragraph, they don't think you have any property rights in anything. Because if you don't have a property right, the administration doesn't need to look and give you due process. So I've told you this before, but this is what's at stake. You're looking, if you're focused on COVID, you're focused on the wrong thing for sure. Public authorities moved to limit, after this, public authorities moved to limit the collection of data to test, trace, and detain the spread of infectious diseases in response to the court's newly declared privacy right. What did that say? If they can't find an infectious disease, they have no authority to collect at all. If you're not on record to say that and prove it, you're going to be part of the herd. And for all the people that don't think they're part of the hive and not filing habeas, not anything, whatever remedy you come up with, and not making your stand in respect of your own rights, you're just part of the hive. You're part of the Borg. Okay? I mean, it's pretty simple here in that regard. And I should end here. We know now we're getting into AIDS and HIV. Interesting, that's tying together with this Fauci, the one you'll fall prey to. This is all pretty much speaking from back when about these things. And I don't want to get too lost in all that because the focus today is, what is police power? What's the dynamic balance or imbalance? How do you keep it in check? We heard that it's habeas corpus. You hear here it's habeas corpus. You hear that those rights have actually been expanded relative to the detainment, so you can have an immediate release of yourself pending any question. If you write it imperfectly and they want to make a question of it, then you should be released, and you have a protection for that as well. Okay, so anyway, so there's a lot to read here, a lot of neat information. It gives you the idea of what is this police power relative to health concerns, and it's not all one-sided. It also isn't drop in the government authority first. It's not that the government has the power. They have the power until you question the validity, as you heard in the Wisconsin case, the other Wisconsin case. Okay, so here, I'm just supporting what I've been saying all along in other opportunities for you to see, to read the black and white, someone else's black and white, read the review of the history, give you a place to start if you don't know and are ignorant of what all this is about, give you a place to start to go research what this is about, and don't waste too much more time. Where the legal firm may not want to go jump in on this because they're afraid of what an appellate court will say, you don't have this remedy to overthrow their insurrection without this right now. And I said I would have a big smile on my face for a long time if the nation of this nation of people would step up and all walk into the courts with their habeas properly challenging this whole point. And you got good feedback here about that and what those points might be. And that being said, coming off the last broadcast that came out, Baker County, Oregon had a decision, and it found in favor of the churches that had run forward. And so that started a whole other process for some colleagues I have, particular there, and who had dropped the bug in the ear of some people right before that case about how it was supposed to go. But it's like herding cats to get people to do the right thing. And when you're dealing with the attorneys, they're going to predictably do the, if it's not the wrong thing, it's the fall short thing. And that's what happened in this case. However, the Baker County Court Judge Matt Shurtcliffe overturns the governor's coronavirus executive orders, states petition Oregon Supreme Court to overrule the judge. Is the dynamic I told you I expected all this? This leads us to a discussion in my colleagues about how they were going to advance more information out to try and get this thing turned in the right direction, better than it can. Okay, here the point is, it's not a win if they win on agreeing that the governor's treasonous order is valid and they're complying with it and then they should be released, as I've said before. You can go that way, but it's not stopping this type of a tyranny that runs across the nation. There's a better answer, even in face of the government itself not wanting to meet that, and that's the other exposure. That's the other dynamic they have to be careful of. The Baker County Circuit Court judge on Monday declared that all executive orders of Oregon Governor Kate Brown issued related to the coronavirus pandemic are null and void. They never made the arguments that I said. They imparted what I told you before, weeks and weeks ago, that no one was at the time, until I think we planted the seed here, that those public health executive order ended 14 days after. This story, actually, they argued wrong because there was no health order update, re-up, after 14 days. And they're saying that it should have lasted 28. Actually, it was only 14. But now the problem is, when you get in there, so I've told you this before, be careful on how this goes on. The problem is now there's a discussion that can be had over whether the 28 days was applicable, whether or not it should have been constitutional, and you start letting the lawyers get in their way and the state kind of have a say on some of this. The judge finds in the direction of the churches who came forward to say, we want to be protected. There was a whole lot of interviewers, a whole lot more than I thought it was. I have a link for the six-page decision or two-page decision. I can't remember now what it is. Anyway, you can read who was involved, who intervened. And I'll just say there's a couple, at least one intervener that we had had an influence on to make some of the statements, again, that didn't translate quite as well as I'd like to see, but did get the case up, got the case reversed. And then what happened was that the state, the governor, and their attorneys appeal. It was said it was in the story that it was appealed. Actually, what I found out in reading and listening to a video of a newscast, which you'll get a link to, they actually pointed out that what the state did was not an appeal, it was a mandamus. And you have to keep track of these things, and it's important to do that. Again, you're supposed to know about all this, folks. It's not supposed to be beyond your purview to understand how it works. A mandamus is a collateral attack, not within the case. It's a collateral attack by someone with rights to have the right to say, "You have, court, we need you to order something done or not done to these people." This was not an appeal, as the news reports had said. And I saw that because they were discussing what the paper was in the video. I think that's where I found it. It said mandamus. And I said, oh, that wasn't at all an appeal. That's different. And I don't know if that was actually, in one regard, it was tactically brilliant. But in another regard, it now opens the door, because if it's an appeal, no one can enter in after the decision. As a mandamus, it's an original collateral attack action. It's initially instituted, and interveners can jump in on that all they want. which is partly what I was trying to find someone to do, which we haven't. Just to let you know, we're doing all kinds of stuff on the mandamus, not the first case, on what the state did. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of dynamic going on. I'm doing long distance, you know, discussions and phone calls on how to get stuff working out. We have an opportunity. I always look, try to find the opportunities. If it was a mandamus, we had an opportunity. If it was appeal, we didn't. And so the point being that there was arguments not made, and there was answers that the state was saying, well, we're good. They misread, the plaintiffs misread the statute, but they never divulged that they don't have a valid order, and they won't. Actually, you know that. They won't. So there's room. What was advanced to the men through the mandamus was really a fraud on the court to not disclose that there may not have, there's a question on whether or not that those orders are valid at all. Forget the 28 days. Why do we do that? Because the mandamus is an original action. Any of you that study this law stuff at all understand what standing is. The party moving those has to have the right to move those actions. The court was duty bound to check that they had the right, the lawful order in order to move their rights forward as the state. You're watching a failure in the mandamus when the court accepted the case without declaring that they had found a valid order. And so it's a fraud on the court to not have presented that there was a question on the fact they couldn't prove it. In fact, they're not going to say this. This is why it takes an intervener to step in. And so we had quite a bit of work going on this week trying to work through this. The mandamus was written. You get a story about all that. The Supreme Court nixed it. It halts that order. But that actually broke status quo, because the status quo, as you heard in the prior discussion, is upon the rights. The constitutionality of the rights being protected have to be protected by the state, and they're not in that. The status quo wasn't held, and the party moving the action wasn't tested. And apparently nobody that was responded to that, and they said there was responses, nobody said that. And so here you've got to be careful on how these cases move along. These cases are really wrongly placed. Okay, that statement may be my opinion, but I think if you analyze this the way I've been saying, you'll see the correctness in what I'm saying. Not me knowing so much. It's just there's a methodological, there's a procedure that they follow, and there's things and rights that go along with each one of these steps that are, if you keep track of those and don't push it all together, there's a whole lot of interesting information that we're getting that we can respond through and to. And anyway, so Oregon Catastrophic Disaster Amendment Measure 77 was brought up because this, what the state was saying in their mandamus, they're trying to shuffle foot between, is it a public health thing that was declared, which the paper says, or was it not, which would kick us, the only other opportunity would be kicking it over into some general disaster or general emergency, but it hasn't been stated. COVID-19 pandemic, you look at that, nobody could tell what was going on with that. And that's the only thing that they're supposed to be here. And so this is where the police power thing, I was telling my colleagues, I said, you have to look for, there has to be a document where the governor, any official, even the public health official, local to the county, made a certification of the specific cause. Well, we find that that provision that no one understood to be looking for, that it was a question where I'm just looking at police power and invoking police power, I'm expecting to find, but no one's doing it. That is in the Constitution. Before we get to the Constitution, that particular Oregon Constitution was amended in 2012. And I have a link to this thing. You can see how this worked out. A friend of mine found this. Said, hey, have you seen this amendment, what they did and what it says? And so it's from the Ballotopedia website, the Oregon Catastrophic Disaster Amendment. So there wasn't even a catastrophic disaster provision in the Constitution. In fact, when you read through the summary, it says that the governor had no constitutional power before this time, and they're asking the people on this ballot measure text to give consent to make the amendment to the Constitution. And here's the summary. It amends the Constitution. Currently, the governor has statutory but not constitutional authority to declare the state of emergency and direct response to emergency. Understand, emergency is different than exigency, is different than disaster. And so I found this kind of interesting, but they go on. The measure grants governor constitutional authority to declare and respond to a natural or human caused, quote, catastrophic disaster. Defined, authorized governor to redirect previously allocated general fund and lottery monies to disaster response. Understand the power here of the purse there that's just given to this any governor. Requires a legislative session under emergency conditions if necessary to enact implementing legislation. I'm going to read this instead of reading the Constitution to show you that it's in the Constitution. Now, have you heard about any legislation instead of legislative session that the governor invoked? None. I'll just let you know if you haven't been that close to it. So we're already off the trail here of the constitutionality of this and why you saw the fancy footwork at the in the mandamus trying to just assert that they have the authority without proving they had the right. Legislation may include, as this text goes on, temporarily suspending specific constitutional spending restrictions, terminates governor's disaster spending authority upon enactment of law specifying purpose. Specifying, again, it's all of Republican form government is on notice, written notice, public notice, and this is how it's supposed to work, none of which has been happening, what I've been watching for, why I know the police power is not invoked even yet. You can now learn that for yourself and put that in your computer and calculator as you move this thing forward for your own rights, those that you don't want to be the herd and the Borg, that don't want to be treated equal. Terminates governor's disaster spending authority upon enactment of a law specifying the purpose which this funds may be used. Limits disaster authority to the governor and legislature for 30 days unless legislative acts to lengthen period. Such legislation may include any provision legislature deems necessary to provide orderly transition, in quotes, orderly transition undefined to normal conditions. Other provisions. I saw that. I read all of that to get down to the last three, those last four words, five words, to normal conditions. Do you realize what that means, folks? All this new normal that they're promoting? They've already come out of the gate saying we're going to have a new normal. We got to go do it different now. Do you realize that there's the ballot text to that constitutional amendment in 2012 in the same state that's pussyfooting around about whether they have the, not declaring how they have the authority. Even if they have the authority, they have to go to normal conditions. They are prohibited by Constitution from going to new normal conditions. I just started to laugh. I laugh about this stuff, folks. I started seeing some of this information. I go, I don't know how stupid of a people are we, but we aren't seeing everything these foreign agents, these foreign enemies are doing follows nothing that we do, and yet all the black and white's there in order for us to point out the fact. Well, even if you had the authority, you can't put the new normal on. You have to go to the old normal first. And so, we have the answers for us if we didn't know better. And so I'm going to move on now to that Constitution, because this is the amendment. Interestingly, it's in Article 10 of the Oregon Constitution under militia. All right, Article 10 is the militia. Underneath Article 10 is now 10A, this same law. And we get to go read about that. And this is where we started to see there has to be some due process about this whole thing. And I'm only going through this. You're not in this state. I'm reading this stuff through just to have you go understand there's words there to go read in your state that these same things will be there because it's an old English doctrine that's been put across the United States that's consistent across the United States of America. So you're not going to see big differences in how this is supposed to work. 10A, Article 10A, catastrophic disasters, the very thing the people of the state of Oregon agreed to give constitutional power to the governor with limitation. Definitions, declaration of catastrophic disaster, convening legislative assembly, Section 1. Additional powers of governor, Section 2, procedural requirements for legislature, Section 3, 4, additional powers of the legislature, 5, participation in session of legislative assembly by electronic or other means. Boy, is that anticipating your e-government. I have a link now later, the IMF is telling you is on their plan list since at least 2012, we know it's before. E-commerce, e-government, e-this, e-that, the digital world. The technocrats extraordinaire, and we're not stopping them with the habeas that says our constitutionality sits prior to all this nonsense if you just said it that way. Moving on here, just to get on here, the definition, declaration of catastrophic disaster, convening legislative assembly. We've got to listen kind of close, and this is where I read this thing through. Someone sent me a copy of the Constitution, just this section. I was just kind of glanced through it real quickly, and I just started laughing I had to go back and see, why was I laughing? Sometimes my mind does that. It sees stuff. And I have to go find and track down what my mind saw faster than what I actually understood. And maybe you'll get the joke that's not a joke, that's right here to see. And this is going to be across this nation how this works exactly. Just applying this. One, as used in this article of the Constitution itself, the catastrophic disaster, the term catastrophic disaster, means a natural or human-caused event that, A, results in extraordinary levels of death, injury, property damage, or disruption of daily life in this state. And, B, severely affects the population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or governmental functioning of this state. I'm going to pause and ask, you got the punchline yet already? Number two, as used in this article, catastrophic disaster includes but is not limited to any of the following events if the events meet the criteria listed in subsection 1 of this section. A, act of terrorism. And then there's B, earthquake. C, flood. D, public health emergency. On and on, down to war. Well, there's a war going on, too. We don't have tsunami that we can, no flood, no volcanic eruption. Listed here, act of terrorism, public health emergency, and war. Three, the governor may invoke the provisions of this article if the governor finds it and declares that a catastrophic disaster has occurred. A finding required by this section, subsection, shall specify the nature of the catastrophic disaster. That was really all I was looking for, that due process was required, and they had to specify as a shall, an imperative, not a guess, not a by golly, not on a whim, not on a caprice. They shall declare the specify the nature of a catastrophic disaster. She's never done. Why the pussyfooting? The point is, let's look at police power. It requires a finding that specified as an imperative of the nature of the catastrophic disaster in one of these, act of terrorism, public health emergency, or war. I told you the public health emergency regarding these so-called COVID is determined to be by the military to be a potential bioterrorist attack. We got back to bioterrorism. Oh, we're back to act of terrorism. If you give you the general act of terrorism as a rule, you live under fear, intimidation, and dread. Look at your society. Is it living under fear, intimidation, and dread? And let's get back one step back up. I'm going back up. The catastrophe disaster includes these acts of terrorism or even a public health emergency that does what? These things have to disrupt the daily life in this state. And I'm not going to get off this state and get lost. These are the people in the state through their environment, economy, functioning of government. And I asked, if maybe drive the punchline now, didn't the governor's order to shut down the infrastructure, the economy, and the government, isn't that the catastrophic disaster that this constitutional amendment sought to prohibit? The governor's acts are the constitutional disaster by this definition. I don't even need to validate whether or not she had a cause. She wasn't even, again, even if you give her the authority, she wasn't supposed to affect and disrupt the daily life of the people in the state. They're not allowed to put on e-commerce, put on e-government, which is now we're actually finding out people who actually get involved now with the government trying to gauge the meetings, they're finding out this e-government's an obstruction to actually being able to participate. There you are with your fundamental right, folks. You have another angle. For those of you that want to jump in, start attending to your e-commerce, e-government meetings and find out you have problems and you can't really participate. You can enjoin that whole thing if you want to. If you want to, it's up to you. It's in your hands. Anyway, so reading the Constitution tells me that the actions of the governor of the state of Oregon that affected the daily life of people in the state and in their economy or in their governmental function or their infrastructure, in their population, by what appears to be an institution of fear, intimidation, and dread or terrorism or underneath a public health emergency that she thinks she's using under color, is the catastrophic disaster itself. This is the foreign agent not caring about the law, as we've sued that in 2013. We identify. That's why I can see it so quickly. what I'm so focused on trying to get people to embrace and move against. It's not it's a target-rich environment right now, and they're completely vulnerable if you would just finally get out of your house. Finally do the most basic habeas, do the most basic study, the most basic consolidation of some form of communication and record. And we move on to this a little bit different. Why the WHO faked the pandemic came back up a while back, and this was just acknowledging that the WHO would fake a pandemic, the pig's fly flu. Why would the CDC misinterpret the misdocument the numbers? Why were these governments, why are they not following the law? As I only caught when I saw this title, why did the WHO fake the pandemic? Well, it's because they made war on you. Okay, this is what they're doing, and you're sitting there under a war. All you veterans, too, they're sitting. There's war in this country, and you're not rising up with not your Second Amendment, which can't kill the virus, and it's not going to stop anybody, the minions out there. But the habeas is the pen to paper, the lead to the paper, if you handwrite one, that is and can expose this entire thing. Why would the WHO fake a pandemic? It's not faked, folks. It's a plan. It's not fake because it's real. It's a plan. It's a weapon against you. Okay, so this is what they're doing to us. Why would an enemy come under camouflage? Why would the governor sidestep the fact of the limitations on them? Why would the counties do it? All your actions is really local because there's requirements to show. Once you show there was nothing they could find, now the territorial access of the governor is even interfered with. But you can't make it a question and make it someone else's job. Again, every one of you is locked down, considered to be treated equally as part of the hive, part of the Borg, because you're not stepping out. That's your consent. Why would a criminal fake something? Pretty obvious now when you start to see it. Let me read the article. I got to keep moving here. When you get, and I wrote this thing here. Now I want to transition into what we've been told. That right up front, they're telling us what it is. These people are not bashful to let us know if we would just listen. I sent up a Twitter out when I found this. I had to track this video down when I heard someone make this statement. I said the Twitter says when you get behind the woodshed, what you miss when you don't. COVID-19 goal, the great transformation. Quote, if you don't like the pandemic, you are not going to like the climate crisis. IMF Managing Director and Global Citizen, Kristalina Georgieva. She just made an interview where she says, if you don't like the pandemic, you're not going to like the climate crisis. Now, I don't know what you all heard there. I know what I'm hearing. And just what I told you. When what Greta couldn't do, the coronavirus did, and then you heard that Greta was now a health expert, tying them together, right? This is all coming, and then the moneyed, the resilient here, when you find out what resilience actually means, it means moneyed. It means those with the control of the money are those that things that believe is money, that this is the IMF managing director saying, if you don't like what's going on to you now, you wait till we finally do get our climate crisis regulations. This is a technocrat. This is the one you'll see. I have another link you'll hear and talk about. It's all going digital. The e-commerce, the e-government, e-whatever. The e-money. This is where it's going to go, folks. You also hear, I think back in the 2012 link I have for you, I think that's where she talks about the SDRs. I talked to you all about this stuff. She's out again. She's still here. And she's a cheerleader from Hades, folks, this lady, about how they're going to take the opportunity to move this on, and she's sitting in the IMF. Do you think the United States government is too far distant from that? For those of you in this country who don't think you've been overthrown, and you still sit there, and I got a link to her interview. You need to listen to all of it. I highlighted just the one point at 34 minutes, but you need to listen to the words. I have another link from her. Went back to 2012. She tells you all about how this is going to be working from the pig's fly flu. It's the extension of today. Right? There's just so much connection going on. And I want to move us into another discussion now. As we see, talk about the government, United States government being all involved in all this. And I've been telling you about the military as well. We're going to get right on back to that. Remember, we heard that early in the broadcast. The Senate passes bipartisan, as I'm researching, folks, this stuff comes out. Senate passes bipartisan One Health Awareness Month resolution. This was an article of 2019. This used to be considered called One Medicine. And I've told you about this thing called One, the Hillary Clinton Uranium One problem that we called out and we identified was preceded by Oregon One Oregon. All right? This is a consistency with these people that you can identify them. You know them when you see them, essentially. But this is a Senate passes bipartisan One Health. This is a big deal. It's been underneath the skin. For January 2020, about the time this whole starts, there was going to be a One Health Awareness Month. This report here is from 2019. It happens this last year. I didn't know about it. Found out doing some research. There's this thing called One Health. It's throughout, as a cancer, your system already, as I've been telling you, when they bring out these modernization acts, they're not going to waste time, and the government itself is the agents against you. The Senate yesterday unanimously passed a bipartisan resolution. Bipartisan. Doesn't matter, you're Democrat or Republican, folks. All right? So you might as well forget all that. Guess who the president is? He's a Republican. He's to promote the Republican platform. That's by Constitution. Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, and Martha McSally, Republican of Arizona, designating January as a National One Health Awareness Month to promote collaboration between public, animal, and environmental health scientists. All right? Collaboration between public, animal, and environmental health scientists. This is your health, folks. Health One. Let's go to the CDC, FDA. It's for all of us. When they speak on an international level of all of us, what are they talking about? They told you. Animals and the environment are intertwined. The health, they say it, first sentence, the health of people, animals, and the environment is intertwined. The health hazard for people may be likely to be health hazard for animals. They care for the animals so much, folks, that they've intertwined all this together. You human. And I've said a man is considered a pest animal under a United States code already. But you're human here. They talk to people, but they're talking about humans, which are animals. And so here's your national FDA telling you they're up on this Health One. Did you know about that? Let's go to the CDC Health One. Got another link. Health One recognizes the connection between the health of people, animals, and the environment. One Health is the collaborative. I told you that the danger in these things, that actually crimes that these collaboratives are. Multisectoral, transdisciplinary approach. You hear much of the agenda speaking here already yet, folks? For working at the local, regional, national, and global levels. The goal of achieving optimal health outcomes. Health outcomes, folks, for you, not with your inclusion, but recognizing the interconnection between people, animals, plants, and their shared environment. The CDC One Health Office leads the agency One Health efforts in the United States and abroad. Boy, that's just like the USDA and the USAID and all this other stuff. The thing that caught me more than all that, this is just you hear the agenda right here. Foreign, United Nations agenda right here in One Health provisions. And you do more research, this is like a massive cancer in this country, kind of secreting itself along. I noticed on their webpage on the CDC what caught my eye was, you look at the top picture, the banner picture, they don't reflect Americans' lives at all. And I want you to see that. You need to see. This is the United States government agency that's supposed to be helping the people, and they're showing some foreign land. Some oxen, I suppose. I don't even know what those animals are. Big horns and white. Guy pulling a plow with a rope. At any rate, this is the big interaction. You go down a little farther. Zoonotic disease prioritization. You see some cute little girl holding a cute little lamb in the middle of a desert with some dried up old ground behind it. Not the United States. This is your CDC. This is American CDC. This is publicizing One Health. You think they have their consideration for you? A hidden corner of the One Health concept. One Health, the military, veterinarian, and education. There's another title, One Health, CDC, it's the war. It's the war on you. It's the war on the world. And they're using the military veterinarians to advance this. Is the military never involved anywhere anymore? No, they're involved everywhere. Eventually, you'll find it. Public health belongs to the One Health umbrella. A military veterinary medicine involved, as military veterinary medicine involved, it became embedded in the national security. What did I tell you earlier? This is the worst thing we could be facing is a medical national security. And I said the only way to destroy it is to destroy the thing that they purport to be the cause. Otherwise, they will have a say. They might have a say anyway, but at least we'll push it to the top and they'll have to make it obvious. Many armed forces still have active veterinary services. They think you're an animal, folks. You think that the GI is any different here? No, when you read this story, they'll explain GI is cared for no different than the donkeys and the horses, and they've expanded it out to you, adopted by the CDC and the FDA. If you think you're a man or a woman and not an animal, no, you better look at this, and the military's integral. And they're, in this article, pushing the substance of the military action that's not quite yet reflected in the world here. The military veterinarians can serve as an interface between civilians and civil organizations, can handle complex and interdisciplinary cases. You hear the interdisciplinary in the last websites, folks? Introducing the One Health concept, both in practice and education, has encountered many difficulties. Over time, One Health has been judged to be a buzzword in civilian areas. However, it is a weighty concept. Its importance is pronounced in military areas where practicing along One Health principles were present before the appearance of the TURN itself. Nevertheless, military One Health has not penetrated into the overwhelming One Health literature. Emphasizing the military aspects of One Health not only reveals an obscure corner, but might help to regain the proper importance of the One Health concept. So, One Health, did you even ever know about it? Promoted as a month, this last January, right at the time they started their offensive against you in earnest. Okay, you think that the connection between animal and people, you human animal? Then I got this story that people may have seen. I find a different importance on it now than what I knew. Remember the chimera they were talking about? Scientists made a mouse that's 4% human. You think they're talking about that kind of connection, folks? Scientists have created a human mouse chimera, with 4% human cells, the most of any chimera to date. I should have went back and refreshed my memory on how to pronounce that. Anyway, while the embryos showed traces of human cells in the most kinds of tissue, including the heart and liver, their germline tissue, which goes on to become sperm or eggs, contain none. Okay, they're working on that. Okay, is this like Stuart Little? Is that the little mouse that we heard about? Do you think that's the connection to animals they're talking about here as they diminish the capacity of the people? Again, the bioweapons, the people themselves have become an enemy of the government itself, as declared years and decades ago. Is this the connection to animals that the government and the military is promoting, that we now see that they have made that human mouse, the pig mouse, the monkey man mouse, monkey man, the one with the EBT card, folks? You think you've been dumbed down yet? You wait till this gets a hold of everybody through all the facilities you don't even know is out there. I found more and more. I can't even talk about it today. I was on a different point. There's just so much out there that's got a lot of money. You think Gates is your problem? I told you, don't worry about Gates. But you got to keep your eye on them until you set this record up that what they're doing is a treason and a fraud. You're not going to be able to get him anyway if you can. He's not even the tip. He's a molecule on the tip of the sword on the shaft that they're going to be giving us here of what I just found out this weekend that I probably will not touch because it's just so far into other fields that I want to focus on reminding people your job is to stop it here. You stop this here, you stop all that. Newly finalized federal regulations on GMOs. They're settled now, folks, and they didn't really listen to much as we do. I don't know that many of you contacted me or that you did to enter in to make a comment to try and shut it down. But today, the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, remember, that's the group that has the USAID's provisions that they go around and take out your countries with food and technology. Today, the United States USDA released the final regulations overhauling the nation's decrepit regulatory system for the genetically engineered GE organisms, commonly referred to as GMOs. The finalized regulations differ little from the USDA's draft regulations proposed last summer. Did you get involved, folks, to stop this? Under the new regime, many GMOs that are currently regulated will no longer be subject to agency oversight, with developers, for instance, chemical companies creating the GMOs, such as Monsanto and Bayer, allowed to self-determine the regulatory status of their experimental GE organisms. GMO crops will also not undergo review for potential harms, including potential economic harms to farmers. Enough there. I read on and on. The tale of woe. We're not responding. I actually think, relative to the two issues, your habeas or this, that habeas is so much bigger right now, so much more directly controllable by you moving this forward. But here, what's the importance of GMO? Well, it's just another genetically engineered product, isn't it? Like the human mouse, like Stuart Little, like the compression and conflation of people and animals. And the collaboration of all this public-private partnershiping in order to bring that to bear, that I don't know, maybe y'all have heard about all this. That was kind of running under my radar relative to the vast organization that existed. No, while you're all talking about Gates, this other thing's been rolling out. So, we have a total biological attack going on. We have the total integration in the government, you as the enemy. None of you are stepping up. I hear nothing but complaints. I look out, and even talking amongst my friends and colleagues, there's still a basic ignorance in certain things. That's what led me to go look for that police power. We have it understood a little bit better now, and so we can still deal with it. But just those are short interims of hiccups of progression that we have to slow up, and we have to go get more education that can slow you up. If you have none of that, you're really starting to work. You're started off-footed, if you will. We weren't supposed to be an ignorant society. That we find ourselves ignorant is not something we beat ourselves on. We should be saying, wow, I really need to learn how to do stuff. I need to do it now. And I think the quarantine really offers a pretty neat thing, time, because you can really focus on what you need to do. And I think a good, solid work, if you put together, you know, I think you could do it in a week, but maybe not within 2 weeks. You would have everything you need laid out on a piece of paper, doing a habeas, because it would be already formed out by your statutes on what you needed to say and then submit. And if all y'all, everybody, if I could get this broadcast out to more than a handful of people that listen, and get it out and promote this stuff, and we could get the hundreds of millions of people to do this, it would maybe make my day, maybe. And if you did it right, it would just be astonishing. I'd at least feel I lived in a country of countrymen and women, that we could understand at least one thing correctly, and we did hold the line. Otherwise, these things are coming on you, folks. I don't know what else to say. And here, moving on, and knowing about the military back there, what they're doing, how they're, don't worry, they don't have no qualms about messing stuff up for you. They'll do it under the national security interest, folks. This is a serious, you really need to understand how serious that connection is, more than the connection you to the animal, and what they're going to do to diminish the people in the future with this stuff. Effects of noise on vascular function, oxidative stress, and inflammation, mechanistic insights from studies in mice. Right? So when they put that extra little mouse, the man in the mouse or woman in the mouse, and it grows, and they put a little bit more, and they put a little bit more, maybe you don't know they're putting the mice into you over time, and other animals and critters, by whatever adulteration is going on in your feed system, that now you can't know what's in there, folks, because they've given it over to the criminal to say how much he's ripped off from you, how much he's stealing, how much he's going to steal. It's all in the hands of the criminal. And so they're all doing this one health future, okay, to advance what the someone's got the plan on where this is going to go. They know when they've studied mice that there's the noise affects vascular function, oxidative stress and inflammation. Those are the things, inflammation and oxidative stress, they're kind of interrelated. An accelerated degradation will harm you quick. Certainly your failure in blood and vascular blood flow and things of the circulation are going to affect you really quick. They're going to diminish you. They know this happens in mice as we add human parts to a mouse. And they want to show that as an animal model, it also affects us. I have no problem with looking at that because one plan of creation, would have allowed the most efficient one would have allowed the least amount of genetics to do the most diverse amount of life. And so we would like to see systems built. Same systems could be built on more and more progressively more and more complicated life forms. But those life forms have functions that are all consistent. I don't have a problem with using models. It doesn't mean it's completely right. We can get an idea, but the tests that they do on mice have shown that noise has adverse effects on vascular function, oxidative stress, and inflammation. I want you to go research about those things and tell me if they can affect you by the noise you hear, or even the stuff you can't hear, which is the most important, or a couple noises you can't hear that create a beat frequency that you still can't hear, but it affects you because it's a frequency that's working adverse to your system. It puts stress on your system. I want you to understand about all your E devices, that they already know that they put a noise, audio, stress on you, that will affect you in your life. Scientists demonstrate direct brain-to-brain communication in humans. This is kind of cool on the onset, but when you find out that they're dealing with electrical activity of the brains, and they're actually able, at least by their tests, say that we can communicate with each other without wires. At a distance, a spooky action at a distance of itself. The point is, they're understanding, too, if you can do that, then you can be interfered with. We humans have evolved a rich repertoire, rich repertoire of communication from gesture and sophisticated language. Boy, that'd be objectionable to me when I look at what other animals do and I can't quite get. When I find cultures that have 200 words for one type of a weather event, like snow, and they got 200 different vocabulary words for that. I'm feeling rather Neanderthal at some level. When I look at body language and I see animals can pick that up faster and quicker than me, I wonder, well, what are my capabilities? What I'm really wanting to know, what are my limitations? All these forms of communication link otherwise separate individuals in such a way that they can share and express their singular experiences and work together collaboratively. No individual here, folks. They're working on ways to figure out how to tie you together. In a new study, technology replaces language as a means of communication by directly linking the activity of human brains. This is an old article. I'm finally getting to it. I've been trying to tie this medical thing up, and so I'm going to hopefully be able to get to it today through the One Health, through what they're doing with the coronavirus. In this new study, technology replaces language. Electrical activity from the brains of a pair of human subjects was transmitted to the brain of a third individual in the form of magnetic signals, which conveyed an instruction to perform a task in a particular manner. The study opens the door to extraordinary new means of human collaboration, while at the same time blurring fundamental notions about individual identity and autonomy in disconcerting ways. Didn't the CDC talk about collaborating? Haven't I told you this is the process we sued in 2013? It's how you're taking down your country. These people know what they're doing, and they know they're very effective at it. Now, we've got electrical activity and magnetism. Do you think they got some of that in all this 5G or even this sub-5G technology? Do you think audio stress, that they know they can harm you in your physiology and how it responds to accelerate certain unhealthy conditions, even to death? and you're surrounding yourself by all this technology and allowing it, if you can't do something as clear and obvious as writing a habeas to free yourself from the dictates of a dictator, folks, it's not looking too good for us. Nervous system manipulation. We just talked about electricity and magnetism. This has been on my board for a long time. Nervous system manipulation by electromagnetic fields from monitors. Old story. I'm tying them together with what this One Health was just telling you about, with what they're doing with the coronavirus, how they invent the things, how they get you to not respond, maybe why you're not responding. Now that you've heard that, I've condemned you. You got to fight even beyond now, beyond the constraint the technology's putting on you electromagnetically, because now you know. And I hope you do. You can. It's real simple. Turn it off. Focus. Distance yourself. You want to do isolation? Isolate yourself from them. Nervous system manipulation. Do you think they just told us that they can do that human-to-human communication? Do you think they can do that with a machine? Do you think as long as you have these electromagnetic field devices around you that you're free? They keep asking you, are you a robot? You wonder, maybe they're already affecting you, so you think you are. But that's not an excuse to not free yourself, especially in light of this coronavirus. I'm telling you, this thing is the thing that we needed actually to throw these bombs out. Well, nervous system manipulation, brain-to-brain communication. You think brain-to-machine communication? What about that rat I told you about, told the human subject, don't embarrass me, just tell me to wag my tail, and it did. The human told the rat to wag the tail, not to embarrass the rat. If I talk to you about that, those of you who've been listening for a while, this is the stuff I've been talking about. They are understanding the electromagnetics is how they can control you and do things. And then we heard this recently. I think I got this from Jules' Twitter account. By accident, I happened. I can't, folks, in the Twitter, I can't get more new contacts. I'm blocked out. In fact, here coming down the last few days, I may not be on Twitter because they keep saying I have an extension that's keeping the old legacy stuff. Well, I don't have an extension, and so I may not be on the internet no more with regard to Twitter. But Twitter. I think Jules had this. Mojo Vision is working on making AR contact lenses a reality. Every technology has its trade-offs. That the key to success is making sure the benefits are so great that the trade-offs seem like minor nitpicks by comparison. There's your public buy-in. They sell it to you as an advantage. You don't know what the trade-offs are because you don't know who the ones making this stuff and what their object is. This is a lens. This is a contact lens that puts in. It gives you a virtual reality input. The problem with it is that they have to connect it somehow to a functioning system. That is going to be what I saw in these prior tabs, nervous system manipulation, human-to-human connections. You're watching it working through. You'll see it working through something like this contact. They haven't quite got it, but they're on the cusp, if you will, to get this thing run through, all based in electromagnetics. This is a coming, it's like the next iteration from Google Glass. You won't even notice it, most likely. They have the way they can do what they can do. They can color it. Anyway, very interesting technology, but in fact, they're having to hook up something that they are going to have to manipulate by electromagnetic stimulation. And they can put computers in these. They put computers in these contacts now. Now, as an aside, fascinating. When I looked at this story, I said, well, that's the solar. There's a brand new solar cell that's actually an old one that they're allowing you to know about. It's a multi-layer solar cell with 140 different channels on it because it looks at 140 different colors of light to create electrons. In fact, I think I sent back a Twitter back to Jules. I said, you convert this bandwidth now, colored bandwidth, into a computer. And now you have 148 different digital channels. That's more like what you hear the quantum computers doing, what I've been telling you is really going on. So they have the capacity to put filters on this contact lens, which would actually split light up in order to be different data streams. An immense amount of computing power on the cusp of possibly going into your eye or someone's eye, hooked up into a system of the Borg, is not a very warm and fuzzy feeling for me. I don't know about you. But this is where technology is moving it on, and the military is all behind it. As I want to remind you of an old story I did report, and how he said, you know, not really a question rhetorically, how would they find out? Well, U.S. military develops algorithms to predict illness 48 hours before the symptoms. Well, if they've got devices that are keying in and causing you to have symptoms, and then they just read that you responded through all the devices you have, or they have these devices you walk by that pick it up, the military is developing these things to keep intelligence on every one of you. And we have the contact tracing built in now to the phones, and people saying, if you don't have a contact tracing app, we're not having you, you're not going to eat or have coffee here. Folks, that's your opportunity to not to vote with your feet. Start making your own coffee. But U.S. military is right involved with how this would be working. You see all this technology coming. You see it's being refined in fantastic ways, very interesting ways. To my mind, and some of the things I understand about some of the technology, even for as long ago as when I was into it, I'm seeing like an even bigger advancement coming in a way of, it's always fantastic in the technology side, but how they're going to be using it is terrifying, that we continue to set as crickets. The military is involved here. There's the war against you. I'll remind you that they are making ways to feed in information that the One Health that's being adopted by the federal government is embracing already is a foreign imposition as well to control you enemies essentially as animals relative to the thing that they're imposing upon you and bringing you into that, you know, new world order, the new normal, which we find out now if we read the amendment to the people of Oregon said, you can't have a new normal, we got to reinstate the old normal first. How's that? Isn't that interesting? And so here's this technology. They don't care about how they harm the animals. Another report that I think I can get to here. So we have the military all the way through this going on, as we have been the whole story, even the coronavirus nonsense between who was doing it. Remember we talked about here behind the woodshed, went from the MIT or whatever university stuff in the United States, went to Canada. In Canada, they had the soldiers from China, which then took it, you know, it was on over to the Wuhan. All this stuff is integrated. They're all collaborating because you're actually the enemy and don't know it. And they proved it to you when they locked you up on something that they have no power to do and you allowed it. Even those of you that believe that you're not part of the herd, or part of the hive, or part of the mind, you're allowing it. You're part of the herd. They're treating all of you equal to with them that they're after to harm. This technology, they're advancing. It doesn't matter. Ends justify the means. Harvard physicist says no safe way to implement 5G. For some of those of you that are against 5G, you'll say, okay, great. Well, here's a piece of evidence that someone's opinion of Harvard physicist says there's no safe way. Well, there's not a safe way to do a lot of these. You do a vaccine. We heard early on they gave six monkeys a common cold with a vaccine. Now we know if you had any doubt that these vaccines give you the thing, and an inferior product on top of that, which really gets me. I don't want the inferior one. Just give me the natural common cold. My body handles that for like forever. In fact, as I move along in life, I get more and more. It's more and more trouble for medicine, Western medicine, for medicine, the thing, the made up stuff that they're doing to actually treat me. Because I gain my body gains these defenses. It gets to the point that vaccines are ineffective because you already have an immune system that's so strong against most everything. Yes, Grimmer, thank you. Enemies of the state, you are. This is not a joke. I've been telling you this for years and years. Harvard physicist says no way to safely implement 5G. They don't care. They need the data streams. They're telling you electromagnetically they can control you by these, and what they're doing to bodies, they can do this to bodies. They tell you they're hybridizing life. They're telling you they're collaborating to do so and that they're combining all this life together. And it only diminishes it. Okay, so I don't know what, this is not stories. This is not time to ponder. This is not time to say acknowledge what I'm saying. Yeah, these guys are criminal and crooks. Right now, I'll just return to this because it's so important. Right now, the coronavirus nonsense, COVID, whatever you want to call it, is giving the people of the United States of America the right to use a habeas corpus in order to expose the entirety of the corruption that goes down. Do you understand what millions and millions of people going into court, doing a core argument that's going to win, and then everyone adds a little different nuance to expose that? If we were that integrated as an educated people, actually moving back through with wisdom and an intention, that we could re-expose the nonsense and throw them out. You want to throw out Gates? You're not going to get the Gates. You want to throw them out? You identify how the system just puts you in lockdown and eliminate that, and then set the example, and you're going to eliminate all that they've done. If you don't, and even if those of you think you're free, and you know because you know you're free, and you know about being free, and you know even if you say, I don't have any rights, but I'm free enough. No, you're all part of the hive. You're all part of this thing that they're mashing together that you hear through the Health One, that you're all being treated the same. You're being treated as the vector that's harming the environment. If you haven't heard, if you didn't hear the environmental agenda, what the IMF minister, Crystalline was saying, if you don't like this pandemic, you wait till we hit you with the climate crisis impositions. That's where you truly are the criminal. And you heard a little bit about that. The police power is not supposed to be in the criminal context. But I told you, to find the information about police power, I had to look in the criminal context. They've subtly changed that on you, and nobody knew it. So I didn't notice, because my research is done 20 years ago. So when I went back, I didn't even recognize what they don't talk about. They talk about, like, the government already has the power. Instead of, as you heard that one study, the history is that's not the case. But Wisconsin tells us, the Wisconsin court, that's the case, unless you step up and stop it, like I've told you over and over. You only have the rights you assert. You only are not treated equal with the rest of the herd when you cut yourself from the herd and find a particular way to do it. And I've told you, this battle is not one the Second Amendment can win. And yet I see people, I mean, that one Twitter comes to mind, revitalize the government by starting initiating a militia. That's such an absence of awareness, I can't even know where to begin to start talk about it. But anyway, last week I cut off a little bit early. I didn't cut off early, I went a little bit long. I have a delay. I don't want to do that again today, so I'm going to break just a little quick here. So thank you, Grimner, for what you do at reallibertymedia.com, and to Jules or at UCY.tv, what you do there to keep us going, and your YouTube feed and Sound Minds and Normalization of Ignorance. And if you're out there, just in case, I see you go through Minds every once in a while. I appreciate what you've done. I haven't found much recently. Folks, if you can, give us the thumbs up here. Spread the word around. I literally tell you that I believe that 100 million, 200 million Americans stepping up would be an immense power in the people, finally, in a right that's written in an organic document, that the parameters for which are nice and clear and short and easy to understand, under which everybody can take advantage and nobody can be stopped. And I just find this to be an interesting moment in history, if you will, to really bring us to that point. If we just will. Thank you again for all you do, Grimner, and everybody else doing the distribution. Appreciate all that you do to support it. I'll take talking with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Yes, sir. opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.